EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello everyone and welcome to the show wherever in the world you are listening from. How are you all? Tonight's guest is Vincent in Brazil. Vincent has had several personal encounters with aliens and other entities, and he began practicing astral projection when he was young and believed this opened him up to contact with these beings. Vincent up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Vincent, and welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You are more than welcome, and calling from Brazil today.
Yeah, that's right. I'm from New Jersey, but I've been living in Brazil for the past about 9 years now.
9 years. Okay, wonderful. Vincent, you're going to be sharing a few of your encounters with our wonderful listeners. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Yeah, sure. So I started having paranormal experiences when I was 14 years old. So when I was 14, I started practicing astral projection, and this opened me up to all kinds of paranormal encounters. I mean, I was regularly having experiences with shadow beings and aliens, malicious spirits, ghosts, deceased relatives, the whole spectrum, like from good to bad, like negative entities and also like positive, higher spiritual entities. There were a lot of really frightening encounters, but there were even more incredible experiences, like really profound, transformational experiences. And, what's interesting about astral projection is it allows you to directly experience the paranormal because you're essentially entering paranormal territory. You're entering realms, levels of reality in which these paranormal entities exist, like you're entering their turf. That might be frightening to some, but for me, I was always very curious and open-minded, and I just wanted to explore and see what was out there and, discover what the true nature of reality is beyond this physical world and beyond the physical body. And I basically made that my mission. So you know, over the past 22 years, I've been practicing this. And yeah, I've had some pretty wild encounters along the years. So I think that before I actually get into my experiences, I should explain the context of them so that everyone understands exactly what's going on in terms of astral projection. So what this is it's essentially a type of out-of-body experience in which your consciousness leaves the physical body and travels into higher dimensions of reality. And so reality basically consists of a spectrum of different dimensions that exist at different frequencies of energy. And, you know, it's similar to how there are different frequencies of light, and we can only perceive a limited range of these frequencies. And the rest of the light spectrum, like infrared, X-ray, these are invisible to us, but they still exist. So in the same way, there are these higher dimensions of reality that are beyond our perception when we're grounded in the physical body. But when you have an out-of-body experience, your consciousness enters these higher dimensions. So, you know, like I said, these dimensions exist in a spectrum. And the closer the non-physical dimension is to the physical dimension, the more similar it appears to the physical world. And I consider these to be the lower dimensions because they exist at a lower frequency on the spectrum of non-physical reality. Whereas the farther the dimension is from the physical dimension and the higher the frequency is compared to the physical world, the more reality starts to diverge from the physical world, the more unique and unusual and abstract that dimension is. So when you astral project, your consciousness transfers from the physical body into the energy body. The energy body is almost like the spiritual counterpart of the physical body. You know, some people might call it the spirit body or the astral body or the soul. But essentially, this is the non-physical body that you occupy during out-of-body experiences. And so the energy body separates from the physical body, and you navigate the astral dimension from within this energy body in the same way that we navigate the physical dimension from within our physical bodies. So yeah, if that all that makes sense, I can jump right into my experiences.
Yeah, please do, Vince.
Sure. So when I first started my practice, I began encountering entities which are commonly called shadow beings or shadow people. And this was, you know, from the very beginning. And these entities seem to exist in the lower dimensions, particularly in like the lowest dimension, like the dimension that's just slightly higher than the physical dimension. And, you know, this could explain why, you know, some people claim to see these shadow beings like in the physical world while they're, you know, awake. And there could be some type of overlapping between these two dimensions in these cases because they are so close to one another. So in the beginning, you'll typically project into these lower dimensions. And as I said, I started to encounter these shadow beings, and they would be there waiting for me to leave my body. I would float out of my body, and I would be face to face with these giant entities. I mean, giant, they were over 7 feet tall, and they appeared to be these big, dark, like silhouettes, like a giant shadow. And they were really frightening. Now, sometimes they would just be standing there facing me. And, you know, even that alone was enough to scare me right back into my body. But in other times, they would actually like come after me, like try to grab me. And there seems to be a type of this reflex that takes place when you experience a heightened state of fear while you're out of body, and you immediately snap back into your body. It's almost like a protection mechanism. So, you know, in the beginning, I would, you know, encounter these entities, and I would be so scared, I would just snap right back into my body. But over time, so many experiences with these shadow beings, I started to realize that they weren't going to hurt me because they would have already done it. And, you know, I was really motivated to progress in my out-of-body practice. And I was tired of these entities like holding me back. So I took a new approach, and I discovered that if I just remained calm and ignored them and continued with the experience, then I would shift into a dimension that was higher than the dimension that these shadow beings exist in, and they'd be gone. You know, it was like their presence, it would trigger a fear response, which would hold me at this lower dimension. But by releasing that fear, I was able to project beyond this lower level. You know, eventually I started to completely bypass this lower dimension, and I stopped encountering these shadow beings altogether. Yeah, that was the first phase of my astral projections. It was essentially characterized by encounters by these shadow beings and projections into dimensions that looked very similar to the physical world. And, you know, I would go out just exploring, you know, nothing too profound was taking place in the beginning. After a while, I started to encounter these other entities. And these entities looked like aliens, the typical gray alien. They didn't have gray skin. They had like a light orange skin. But it was similar to my experiences with the shadow beings because they seemed to always be there waiting for me as I would project from my body. But these entities were far more frightening to me than the shadow beings, because they seem to truly radiate with this sinister energy, and they would affect me with this energy. They would almost like zap at me with this energy, and it would paralyze me. It would be such a frightening experience just to be laying there, and I, you know, couldn't move, and I was fighting off, you know, this really uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable almost to the point of being painful. This really strong energy just coursing through me. And so this really strong, uncomfortable energy would be coursing through me. It almost had an artificial quality to it. Now, the thing is, with astral projection, you experience an energetic state. It's commonly called vibrations, and this happens just before you separate from the body. It's essentially the feeling of the energy body separating from the physical body, and it feels like strong vibrations, strong buzzing energy coursing through your body. But that was a completely different experience than the energy that these aliens would affect me with. There was a real tangible difference in the quality and the feeling of the energy, and I knew, I could tell, I could sense. It was like this intuition. It was like this knowing that this energy was coming directly from them, and they had bad intentions. And these entities, you know, that looked like aliens, they essentially stalked me. You know, I would leave my body, and they'd be standing around my bed. Sometimes they would actually like rip me out of my body. Like I'd be laying in bed just meditating, and I would feel hands grab my ankles, and, you know, in this meditative state, I would be in an altered state of consciousness. So what I was feeling, it was actually not my physical body being affected, but it was my energy body. I was tapped into that level of my consciousness, and I would feel hands on my ankles, and they would start to push and pull and sway me, and eventually they would rip me right out of my body. And these entities, they would take me places, and it was totally against my will. You know, I didn't ask for it. And just the fact that they were taking me out of my body against my will raised a red flag, you know, right away. And, you know, I would usually re-enter my body because I did not trust these entities. I knew something was off about these experiences. And yeah, at times I'd be out of my body and they would chase me. Like they would literally chase me and I would be fleeing from them. But it was a similar progression that happened with the shadow beings because I was never really hurt by them. I mean, at times like they would grab me and I would feel a painful sensation in my energy body, like a real tangible pain. But I decided to go with the experiences and to stop fighting them off. And what started to happen is that I started to communicate with these entities. It was like a telepathic link would open between us and they would start sharing this information and knowledge with me, which was pretty interesting. And, you know, it didn't really change the fact that I didn't trust them. I didn't trust their intentions. And I never really had a truly positive experience with them. But I did have experiences where they would show me like some technology that they had. And it was cool and interesting, but, you know, nothing really profound there. But I did have experiences with other types of entities that also looked like aliens. And, you know, I'm reluctant to call them aliens just because I don't know their origin. So, you know, in our society, in our culture, we call aliens these entities that, you know, most think they're from another planet. Maybe they're from another dimension. You know, they have the big black eyes, the small skinny bodies, you know, gray aliens. And they had a similar appearance to these entities. So, you know, for lack of a better term, I consider them to be aliens. Although I would always encounter these entities during my astral projections. They seem to operate in the astral dimension. I don't know if that's like their home base or if they're like us and they're actually physical entities, but they can also, you know, project their consciousness into these other levels of reality. I'm not sure what the case is, but some of these other experiences with different types of alien entities were actually pretty profound. I had this one experience when, you know, I was out of my body and I was aboard some kind of spacecraft. I was out in space. I was out in the middle of the universe with these entities and they looked like aliens, almost like gray aliens, but they had like a light blue skin. And they were sharing this knowledge with me. It was almost like a download directly into my mind. And some of this knowledge was just so far beyond what I was able to actually comprehend. I knew there's this state that you can experience while you're in certain higher dimensions where it's like you have a direct connection with truth, like with the source of truth and knowledge. And you have this state of knowing that's totally unlike what we can experience here in the physical world. So I knew this information, this knowledge they were sharing with me was true. But I also knew that it was just so far beyond my grasp, my comprehension, you know, in terms of, you know, we have to kind of use physical world concepts to make sense of things, right? And some of the stuff was just so far beyond that. And, you know, I knew that this knowledge was being downloaded and like stored in some like deep level of my mind, but I just couldn't put my finger on it. But I did take away some things I was able to understand. And one of them was that they told me that before this life that I'm currently living, I made an agreement with these aliens, almost like a contract. Maybe you've heard soul contracts. It was like that. And I made an agreement with them before this life to have a relationship with them during this life. And, you know, the details of this agreement, I don't recall what they were, but I am certain that they shared this knowledge with me. And, you know, in that state, I experienced the truth of that. And I had this other experience where I was out of my body and this entity appeared before me, and it was also some type of alien. It was a different type of alien, different from any of the other ones I had previously encountered. And this alien approached me, and a telepathic link opened between us. And again, it was like I got this download of knowledge and information, but also experiences and memories. It kind of opened my consciousness to this other aspect of myself that I was unaware of. And I started having these memories of, it sounds a little out there to some, but it was made known to me that I am concurrently living a life in another dimension of reality as a member of this particular alien species, if that's what you want to call it. In another life, I am this entity, the same type of entity that was before me, and I have like a close bond with this entity that was standing in front of me, sharing this with me. And it was such a mind-blowing experience. This entity came up to me and wrapped its arms around me. And as it did that, I experienced like this explosion of energy from within me. And it was this energy of love and bliss. And it almost felt like I was exploding into like a million pieces. It was so intense. And I've had other experiences which have, given credit to this idea of having other lives, other lives on Earth, other lives in other systems of reality and other dimensions.
When was the first time that you actually projected?
The first time I projected was back when I was 14, and it was about a week. It was a little less than a week into my first attempts. So, I came across the idea of out-of-body experiences on the internet, just by chance. And I thought it was so interesting. I wanted to do it myself. And I found a method on this website, and I tried it. And within a week, I was able to leave my body. And yeah, that was back when I was 14.
Can you run us through the technique that you used?
Sure. Well, the first technique I used involved a meditation, and the goal was to induce your body to fall asleep while keeping your mind awake. And so this technique was used at night, before bed. You'd lay down on your back and you would progressively tense and relax all the muscles through your body. And that would induce a deep state of relaxation. And then you would do some kind of meditation, which would quiet your mind. And the idea was that you want your mind to become so quiet that it triggers your body to fall asleep. So you can, there are different particular techniques of doing that. You can focus on your breath. You can kind of visualize some object or some kind of sensation. You can induce a feeling, like a feeling of falling or maybe climbing a ladder, something like that. Now, this particular method, like I said, it was the first one I used, and it wasn't the easiest one. It took almost an hour for me to have my first projection using this method. But very soon after this, I found another method which was far more effective, way easier, way faster. And this method you do in the early morning. And it's more effective because in the early morning, your body and mind are already in the ideal state to project from your body. And this is because, you want your body to fall asleep. So in the early morning, let's say 5 or 6 hours after falling asleep, you don't want a full night's rest. You want to wake up maybe a couple hours before you would normally wake up. Well, at this time, it's pretty easy for your body to fall back asleep. It's already very deeply relaxed. But your mind is also rested. After 5 or 6 hours of sleep, your mind has gotten a decent amount of rest. So it's much easier to keep your mind alert, aware, and conscious during the projection. Whereas, you know, if you do it at night, well, your body's tired, but so is your mind. So it's a lot harder to remain aware. And, you know, a lot of times you try it at night and you'll just fall asleep. So doing this technique in the early morning is a lot more effective.
And did it ever worry you that once you leave your body, that you may not be able to return?
Well, before I started practicing this, I read a book about it. And, you know, I read some other information, you know, on certain websites about it. And from what I understood, that was just not possible. And, you know, after years of my own experiences, you know, I now know for a fact that that's not possible. And, you know, it's understandable, you know, if you go into it without having any prior knowledge, then, you know, that could be a concern. But yeah, that's just not the way it works. You know, consciousness is, you know, it's integrated with the body. Even during the projections, you're not leaving your body as like an empty shell. There's actually an aspect of your consciousness, of your mind, that is still integrated at the level of the physical body. What actually happens is your consciousness actually kind of splits off, and it gets pretty complex. But what happens is your consciousness splits off into multiple levels of reality, into multiple dimensions simultaneously. And so during these projections, you know, you're typically only aware of just one of these aspects of your consciousness. But in reality, there are many different aspects of your consciousness projecting out into various planes of existence. And, you know, over the years experimenting with these states, I've been able to experience this fact, and I've been able to have conscious awareness of multiple levels of, you know, multiple aspects of my consciousness in different levels of reality at the same time. So it's far more complex than it may seem at first.
Of course, you need the right environment as well. You know, you need a location that has quietude.
Yeah, definitely. You know, for the most part, you need to do a type of meditation to induce this state. And so early morning is a good time because most people are still sleeping. It's usually pretty quiet, but, you know, you can even practice it throughout the night. Really, you could practice it 5, 6, 7 times every night, because we actually wake up after each sleep cycle. You know, we momentarily wake up, and typically we're unaware of this. But over the years, I kept dream journals. And so after every dream, I'll briefly wake up and write my dream. And this really helped my lucid dreaming practice, because I was doing astral projection and lucid dreaming simultaneously. You know, lucid dreaming is becoming aware that you're dreaming. And it's a similar experience to astral projection, although there are some differences as well. But I was keeping this dream journal to help my lucid dreaming practice. And I was writing 6 to 7 dreams in my journal a night. I trained myself to wake up momentarily after each dream, but not just to wake up, but to be aware as I wake up, because typically, you know, we'll wake up for such a brief moment after each dream that we just fall right back to sleep immediately and have no recollection of actually waking up. And so I trained myself to be aware at this time, right after each dream. And so I would, you know, write down my dream. I'd wake up in the morning with, you know, 6 or 7 dreams in my journals. And these were good opportunities to practice not only lucid dreaming, but also astral projection, because you can train yourself to be conscious as you fall back asleep. And so a lot of times I'd wake up briefly, write my dream in the journal, you know, lay back down. And then within a few seconds, I would be out of my body where I would be lucid in a dream. So, you know, with a lot of practice and experimentation, you can really like hone in on your ability to enter these different states of consciousness.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. Dream journals are always good. I remember when I was a teenager, I went for a stage of eating a ton of cheese, right? And then going to sleep and then exploring my dreams. And I would have some very vivid and strange dreams.
Oh, wow. Do you think the cheese like helped you with these vivid dreams?
I'm not sure, but I know there was it's probably an old wives' tale, where they were saying if you eat cheese, you know, before you go to sleep, you know, you dream more. And maybe that's to do with the chemical compound of the cheese, maybe. But yeah, I'd have some strange dreams, that was for sure.
That's funny. I mean, it could also be maybe your expectation. Maybe, you know, you believed that, and it, even if the cheese didn't have like a tangible effect in your brain chemistry, you know, just your subconscious mind could have been triggered because of your belief.
Absolutely. Yeah, very possibly. And I did have, I did go through stages of sleep paralysis for years. It kind of subsided when I was about 35, 36. So probably about 10 years now. And this one time, now I'm not saying this is sleep paralysis because this is a little bit different, but I was in bed. It was about 3 or 4 in the morning, I think. And I say I woke up, but I woke up and I was outside of my body. And I was in the bedroom. I could see my wife and I could see myself in bed. I couldn't feel a body. I couldn't see a body. As far as I was aware, I was just a pair of eyes looking around the room. And that was it. I didn't think about leaving the house, even though after I was like, oh man, I should have gone out the window. I should have tried to get out somehow and wander around the place. But it was real. It was 100% real. I wasn't dreaming. I could see myself. It was crazy. I've never experienced anything like that before or since.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like an out-of-body experience. You know, it's pretty common. You know, a lot of people will have this type of experience like spontaneously. My grandfather had an experience like that. And, you know, he never even knew that that was possible, but then it happened to him. And, you know, about the sleep paralysis, you know, sleep paralysis is essentially your body being asleep and your mind being awake. And that is actually the state that you enter right before projecting from your body, you know, because like I said, you want your body to be asleep while keeping your mind awake. So, you know, as you're inducing the projection, you experience your body falling asleep, and then you enter this state of paralysis consciously. And, you know, a lot of times it happens to people, they wake up in this state of paralysis. And so like in that case, what's happening is their mind awakes before their body awakens. And so they awaken into this state of paralysis. But, you know, during a projection, you essentially induce the state of paralysis. And then from that state, you separate from the body. And it sounds like that's what happened with you. And, you know, what's interesting about this sleep paralysis is that when you're in this state, what you're actually perceiving is not the physical world. You know, like for me, it's common to wake up in sleep paralysis and I can see the room around me. But what I'm seeing is not the physical world. It is another dimension of reality. And you know, a lot of times I would see, you know, shadow beings or aliens or other types of entities in this state. And that's because these entities exist in other dimensions. They exist in the astral dimension. And so, you know, a lot of people don't realize that. They think, oh, these things are actually in my room. They don't realize that they're actually perceiving into a higher dimension of reality because, you know, their body's asleep and their mind is actually attuned into the astral dimension. And this actually, in my opinion, explains at least some alien encounters and abduction reports. There are actually a lot of similarities between astral projection and the typical alien abduction phenomena. So that's one of them. Like I mentioned, the sleep paralysis. You know, a lot of times an abductee will report that they entered the state of paralysis. Sometimes, you know, they believe that the aliens induced the state of paralysis. And I've had that experience. You know, like I said, these aliens, these entities would affect me with this energy that essentially would paralyze me. And, you know, I knew from my experience, you know, and my discernment, I knew that I was dealing with entities in the astral dimension. And, you know, my perceptions were shifted beyond the physical world. But someone without this experience and knowledge will probably think it's all happening in the physical world. Because, you know, your consciousness is just the same, you know, your mental clarity is sharp, you know, you're fully lucid. And, you know, like I said, in the lower dimensions, the environment typically looks just like the physical world. So a lot of times you won't notice any differences in terms of, you know, where you are, the room around you. It's going to look the same. So it's easy to see why there would be this this confusion as to, you know, the nature of some of these experiences. Now, I do know that a lot of abduction experiences do have like real physical world elements, and they're not just, you know, astral projections. But I have heard some abduction reports over the years, and when I hear it, I'm like, well, yeah, the same thing happened to me, but I was in the astral dimension, and I don't think this person understands like the nature of dimensions and, you know, the fact that these entities do operate in other dimensions of reality.
Sleep paralysis is extremely common. I think a lot more common than people realize. I mean, I get tons of emails from people which have experiences similar to that. And the same as night terrors as well. A lot of people which have experienced night terrors over the years.
Yeah, you know, I was plagued by night terrors when I was younger, probably from the age of like 4 or 5 until I was maybe 10 or 11, I would have them regularly. And I still have vivid memories of these experiences. And it was like I was half awake and half sleeping. And there was like a dream superimposed over my perceptions of the physical world, right? So, you know, for example, I would be freaking out and my mom would be looking over me trying to calm me, but her face would be all disfigured and her skin would be melting off. It was like I was seeing a combination of her in real life and horrible, you know, dream nightmare. Yeah, during these experiences, I would see entities. Sometimes I would see beings that looked like aliens. And, you know, back then, like I said, I was young, between the ages of like 5 and 10. I guess you can kind of typically write them off as just dreams or hallucinations. But, you know, maybe there's some connection with that. And, you know, the practices that I eventually got into, the astral projection and the lucid dreaming.
And it's very physical, isn't it, night terrors? I mean, it can be not only distressing to the subject, you know, but it also can be just very distressing to those around you because it's such a physical thing.
Yeah, for sure. My mom used to tell me how, you know, scary these experiences were for her because she didn't know what was happening to me, you know, and she had no way to calm me down.
It's a bit like, you know, when the chemicals get released in your body when you're, you know, when you're asleep, it's a lot of it, the time it's there to protect yourself from lashing out. So with night terrors, you know, you're not having that. You're basically living the dream physically.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I think everyone's done it as well when they've been dreaming. I get this when I'm going up a step in a dream. So I go up a step and I'll trip and that's it. I wake up and my leg fires out the end of the bed and usually kicks the cat off the end.
Yeah, it reminds me of this sensation you can get sometimes when you wake up as if you were just falling, like almost like you fell back into your bed. And you know what I've come to realize through my own experience, like with astral projection and lucid dreaming, these states are highly connected. They're connected through your consciousness and they're connected through this system of non-physical reality. And so like lucid dreaming typically takes place in more of a subconsciously generated environment, but it still takes place in a type of non-physical reality. Whereas, you know, astral projection takes place in dimensions of reality that exist, you know, beyond your own mind. So whereas in like a lucid dream, you know, it's created by your subconscious mind. So it was very easy to manipulate the dream elements and manifest experiences and, you know, do whatever you want to do. Whereas that's not the case so much in astral projection because you're in a more tangible type of environment it's not dictated by your subconscious mind. And so over the years, I've learned to transition from one state of consciousness to the other. So I would, you know, enter a lucid dream. And from that state, I would shift into the astral dimension. And, you know, doing this for so long, you start to understand the differences between these realities and your states of consciousness. And so what I've come to learn is that, you know, when we dream at night, we're not just like having, you know, typically it's considered that a dream is just a subconsciously created scenario that takes place. You know, it's only in your mind. It's not real. But there are actually, like I mentioned, other aspects of our consciousness that also project from the body when we fall asleep. And these aspects of our consciousness are having experiences on other levels of reality, like the astral dimension and, you know, and higher. So this sensation, like we wake up and it feels like we're falling. Well, I do believe that we are actually just becoming conscious a moment sooner than, you know, what we're programmed, and we're experiencing like re-entering the body, you know, as far as astral projection goes. You know, you project from the body, you can float out. And then when you re-enter the body, you feel the same sensation as you can sometimes feel when you come back from a dream, when you wake up, that feeling of falling. It's almost exactly the same.
And I have always said that when you shudder, when you lash out and then you wake up, it's basically you just, you know, just popping back into your body.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Did it ever concern you when you were projecting and you were interacting with these beings, some are going to be negative. Did it ever concern you when they were grabbing at you that they would have taken you somewhere and you'd never been able to return?
Well, I pretty quickly found out that there is this, I called it a protection mechanism. It's a trigger that will cause you to immediately re-enter your body if you experience some kind of, you know, heightened state of fear, or, you know, even if you just want to go back. Yeah, the idea of being stuck out of my body, it never really occurred to me because it basically just directly contradicted my experiences and what I discovered was actually the case. But, you know, I have had experiences where, you know, I've been grabbed by some kind of entity and, you know, I would feel real tangible pain. And I would come back into my body and I would still feel that pain in the same exact place where I was grabbed. You know, the first time that happened, I was grabbed from behind and I sensed this, you know, sinister presence behind me. And I felt this hand, almost like a claw, and just squeezed my shoulder, you know, from behind. And I didn't look at this entity, but I immediately felt this deep pain. And, you know, this was in my energy body. I was out of my body. But so I immediately re-entered my physical body and I still felt that pain. And, you know, I felt it in my physical body. And, you know, the thing is, the energy body and the physical body, while we're awake, they're integrated, right? So I was feeling that pain awake in bed. And, it took a few minutes to subside. And I've had other experiences like that over the years. Yeah, I guess, you know, even though there are some malicious entities out there, I don't think there is real danger of anything horrible happening to you, just because of the nature mechanics of the experience and how it works, how easily it is to re-enter the body. You know, the challenge is actually staying out of the body. A lot of times you'll re-enter the body without wanting to. You know, sometimes even the slightest thought of your physical body will cause you to reintegrate. So yeah, over the years, like what I practiced was strengthening my consciousness so that I could prolong the experiences and stay out for longer periods of time.
So initially, it's probably a good idea to have what like kind of like a safe word, isn't it? So if things do get a little bit too tense and you are scared, then you can just return and then try another day.
Yeah, essentially all it takes is the intention of going back to your body and you're immediately back. You know, that's how things work out there, you know, in these higher dimensions. It's all governed and, you know, your actions and your experiences are all like dictated by the mind, right? So you move by thinking, communicate through telepathy, you know. So if you want to have a particular experience, I've met and communicated with my deceased great grandparents on multiple occasions. And I did this simply with the intention. I left my body and I stated the intention, you know, I want to meet my great grandmother. You know, the first time I met her, she had passed several years before. And this was more towards the beginning of my practice. And I started to realize at that time that, well, I'm doing all this stuff out of my body simply with my intention. So let me try to meet someone this way. So I stated the intention. And, you know, the thing is, I didn't know where she was. I wasn't even certain that I would, you know, meet her. But I stated the intention and suddenly I found myself flying through space, blasting at the speed of light. It seemed like the stars and planets were just like whizzing by me. And, you know, I see this point of light in the distance. As I'm approaching it, I start to realize this is my great grandmother. And she was like radiating with this light. And so I met her and we communicated and it was such an incredible experience. And all I had to do was state the intention. I want to see her. And the experience, like, it just manifested, you know. I didn't know where I was. I had no idea, like, I'd be flying through space. But what happens is we are connected to what is commonly called the higher self. The higher self is who we are as spiritual entities at a level of existence that is much higher than what we perceive right here. And so who we are as spiritual entities is so much more vast and incredible. Essentially, we're having this experience, like in this body, in this life, basically as a way to learn and grow. And the higher self basically splits off like an aspect of its consciousness into a particular incarnation, right? So like we're actually connected with many, many other incarnations through the higher self. So like at that level of the higher self, it's all just one consciousness. But down at this level, you know, there are multiple, many, many other individuals who all share the same higher self. So they're all essentially this one consciousness, but they're temporarily experiencing this, you can call it an illusion of separation. And so what happens during out-of-body experiences is that your higher self can kind of take over, and it will lead you to have the experiences and the encounters that you want through your intention. So you know, sometimes you're just floating around on your own intention. You know, I want to go here, let me fly there. But other times, like in this experience, I didn't know where I would go, but I was brought to the right place and I met the right person. And this is through the higher self.
That's wonderful, Vincent. And you also had a terrifying encounter with a ghost.
Yeah, this was back when my wife and I had moved into a condominium apartment. And so I was laying in bed meditating one night, and I entered a deep state of consciousness, an altered state. And it was similar to like sleep paralysis, where you'll perceive the room around you, but you're actually perceiving the astral dimension. So I entered the state, and suddenly I'm face to face with this hideous being. It looked like an old lady, but it was like she was rotting and decomposing, and she looked ghostly. Like she had this transparent, you know, appearance, like a typical ghost. And I was freaked out because I felt this sensation on my side, some kind of like energetic sensation. And so I looked down, and there was this kind of stream of energy. And I realized that this entity had attached itself to me, and it was kind of like sucking energy out of me. And this entity realized that I was aware of it, and it opened its mouth and let out this shriek, this like booming scream. And it was really frightening. And, you know, I kind of snapped back into, you know, normal waking consciousness. And, you know, I still felt that energetic sensation in my side. And so what was interesting about that, before we moved into this condominium, well, the previous owner of this apartment was an old lady who had passed away just before we moved in. And we've had other experiences in that same apartment, which have indicated that this is this old lady who is messing with us. Maybe she feels like we invaded her territory. You know, my wife would wake up in the morning with hand marks on her arms that looked like someone had been squeezing the bejesus out of her arms. And there's no explanation, because I didn't do it. She didn't do it to herself. And, you know, it was something that we were like, all right, this is weird. And, you know, we have an idea of what's happening, but it's best not to think about it and just go on living our lives, because what are we going to do about it? And so, you know, this experience with this ghost lady, and then, you know, my wife having multiple experiences waking up with these strange marks on her body, and, you know, the fact that the previous owner of this place, she had just died, we kind of connected the dots.
Unusual. I mean, yeah, our house as well also had an old fella die in it as well. But our house was cleansed before we moved in, which, you know, is because I know that one of the previous occupants were getting a few issues in this house.
Yeah, true. It's a tricky situation, because, like, what are you going to do? You know, going to move.
Exactly. I mean, you can understand, you know, people that have passed, you know, they may have lived here for a long time. It was their home, you know, they'd had their families living here, you know, they built the house. They have many fond memories and they probably don't want to move, you know, but unfortunately, you know, you have to really.
Yeah, right. They have some kind of attachment that just keeps them there.
Yeah, so hopefully when I go, I won't be attached to a particular property. I'll just happily just move on, float away.
Right, right. You know, I mean, I've come to understand certain things regarding the nature of the afterlife, because it's essentially the same as an out-of-body experience, because what happens is when you project from the body, you project into a dimension that resonates at the same frequency as your own consciousness, right? And that explains why, like, in the beginning of your practice, it's more common to project into the lower dimensions. And as you develop through your practice, you begin to access higher and higher dimensions, because what happens through these practices is, you know, your spiritual development increases, and you know, it's just like anything with practice, you get better and better and you develop, and you're able to kind of access higher states of existence. And so with the afterlife, it's essentially the same concept. You know, when we die, we enter a dimension that resonates with our own consciousness, our own energy, you know, our own thoughts and beliefs and emotions. And so, you know, this explains, you know, the concept of hell. Because, like, let's say you're a horrible person, you've always done horrible things, your mental and emotional states are full of, you know, hatred and negativity. So when you die, you know, you are going to be attracted and naturally enter a level of reality that resonates with that same negative energy. But it's not just you, it's so many other people who are also entertaining, you know, that same state of low negative consciousness. And so they will be in a realm filled with all these horrible people, and there is no escaping it, right? I mean, well, I'm not going to say there's no escaping it, but there's nothing else in these realms. It's all that negative energy, these negative individuals, you know, this low state of consciousness. And, you know, it sounds like a hell to me.
It sure does. It sure does. Now, everything that you've learned about this, you've actually put down on paper in a book called Astral Projection and Lucid Dreams.
The book is called Astral Projection and Lucid Dreaming, Spiritual Revelations and Out-of-Body Experiences in Higher Dimensions.
So everything that you've learned, you know, techniques and all that, are all down in this book.
Yeah. The book comprises many of my experiences from the beginning of my practice up until a few years ago. And, you know, I'm actually currently writing a new book, which will detail some of my more recent experiences. But a lot of what I learned and experienced is in the book. I mean, the majority of the book is my experiences. Over the years, I've kept detailed journals of all of my experiences. So the majority of the book consists of these experiences, but I also explain the techniques and the methods that I've used and, you know, developed over the years. So you're not just reading my experiences, but you're learning ways to have these experiences yourself.
So anyone wishing to explore astral projection, it would be a good guide for people to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wrote it with the complete beginner in mind, and it is a type of chronological journey. So, you know, I start from the beginning of my practice. And, you know, back then I didn't know much about it. And so I explain things, you know, in the way that I learned them over time. I think this will facilitate, you know, the comprehension of the reader too, because I'm not just giving you all of this heavy stuff all at once. It's more of a progression. So I think it's accessible to beginners and, you know, people who are also very advanced. You know, I've heard from, you know, lifelong astral projectors who have been amazed by some of the things that I share in my book. You know, they say they've never heard anything like it before. So I think, yeah, everyone can definitely gain something from it.
That sounds interesting. That does. What I'll do is all the links I have for you, I'll put down in the show notes and also on the website so people can check it out, Vincent.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
No problem. And there is a lot of people which are exploring this more, you know, a lot more than they used to. It's like the CE5, for instance. People know that they don't have to go to the middle of a desert or go up a mountain and hang out with some group to have these experiences. You know, they can just basically do it from their own house. They can go out onto their property. You know, if they've only got a tiny bit of land, they can do it from their garden. You know, they can do this. You know, and it's the same with astral projection. This is something you can do. You can go to a particular room, you know, find your quietude, and you can explore these things. And it's something which a lot of people are doing.
Yeah, for sure. I see, you know, more and more interest in this subject over the years. When I first started, you know, no one I knew had any idea of what it was. And now it's catching on for sure.
It is, yeah. And people that listen to this, you know, people will explore, you know, and they will learn from this and hopefully build on their own techniques. Because obviously there is so much to learn.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people are interested in the paranormal. And, you know, I think some people do want to have their own experiences. And maybe they don't realize that, you know, this is a way to have experiences like that. You know, like, you don't have to wait around hoping like one day you're abducted or like a ghost appears to you. Like, you can go out there and have these experiences on your own free will, basically.
That's wonderful, Vincent. Vincent, I really appreciate you for coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Yeah, thanks, man. I thought it was a really cool show. And yeah, your podcast is awesome. It's one of the best out there.
You're just saying that.
No, seriously. I mean, it's nice to be on a well-established one like yours.
Vincent, it was great talking to you. All right, you take care. Keep in contact, right, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, thanks. See you.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Vincent for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. So till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.